All right. So this week on the Feeble Minded Podcast, I have Diamond Team Manager, filmer, and longtime friend of mine, Spanish Mike.
What's good? What's good, Chad?
What up, man? I can't believe I got you in here.
Yeah, I'm actually thrilled and excited at like how amazing this setup is.
It's been like, I think, 10 years or so since we've like skated or even hung out, really. Something like that.
I was tripping when I pulled up to your house. I was like, yo, I used to pull up, pick this guy up and do episodes. And I was like, bugging out, like, yo, do this, do that. Like,
it's funny. So you started Spanish Mike TV, episode one. You picked me up at this house.
It was.
We went out, yeah.
We skated Tanner. Brett was in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a crazy time for me. I feel like doing that was like, I just was trying to have fun. Like, and I don't think anyone knew what I was doing, but I didn't know what I was doing myself. I just had this camera and had the little fisheye, and I was like, what if I film my friends, whatever we do, and upload it instantly? That was before live and all this stuff now where it's so easy to just do things off the, you know, in your hand. Like, so I was like, man, but that means I would have to film the whole day, import it, edit it, and drop it the same day so people know it's realistically the same day.
Yeah.
So I did it for like probably a week to 2 weeks straight with you guys. Like every single day, if you look at the episodes, it's like from May something on, and then my brother's like, you need to like schedule it, like people need to know when it's gonna drop. And I'm like, I don't care about that, I want it to just drop. And then eventually I would drop it, you know, every week or so, and then just do one and kind of start creating ideas. And then like slowly it became like people became characters, like you became a character, Fuchs, or just things just started happening. I was like betting on the show, like, I don't know, you smoked cigarettes then, so I was like, yo, do something for cigarettes. And you're like, all right, cool. Like,
Swiss tray for a bag of cigarettes.
It happened like second try.
Now I remember like a real change in you, like when you decided to do that. Like, you almost seemed like you were set, like you're like, all right, I'm gonna try to make this my living, or like do something with it. Like, you really seem like you became driven in a different way at that time, you know?
I had an idea. It was like crazy because at the time I was working at the supermarket, so I wasn't making much money to like do much, but I would like save up whatever I could. And then I was thinking like, man, what if I reach out to these pros and I just come out for a weekend? Like, I'll just be like in behind the midst, just let me film what you guys do. And it was like early on vlogging, which I didn't even know at the time, but I was just capturing the moment, like how I always say, capturing the moment. Yeah. So I was like, let me do this pro. And I was like, had an idea of like, maybe Rob Dyrdek, I can fly with Rob out and do one with Rob Dyrdek and like, and just pay for my own food and all this stuff. And I don't know, I was already dreaming way too bigger than what I thought then, but
you got to that point, so the big dream kind of was necessary, you know?
I want to say like, there's the moments of me where I'm like, man, I want to do it again and do the episodes, because I have these little times where I'm like, I have to come out in a different way now. I feel like everyone does the same thing, but like, I did it almost 10 years ago and I was like early on in the game. I wish I kept going it, but I feel like that was my stepping stone to get me where I was at, to where I'm at now.
100%. And that was pretty much when we stopped hanging out, because you started going down this road. And I think the first thing I remember like of you, like us stop hanging out, was when you met Manny Santiago, because then you were like traveling with him and doing all this stuff, right?
Yeah, like I got the opportunity. I remember like Felix was like, yo, you can come live with us. Like, I got a job for you at Famous. And I was like, damn, that sounds so cool. Like, come stay at my house, everything. And Manny's like, yeah, you want to come film this promo? Mind you, I'm just coming out of like filming you guys like on some homie shit. And I was just like, yeah, I know how to film good. I just like finessed it. Like, oh, yeah, like I was always determined to get better at everything I did in life.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was like, man, what if I mess up? Like, F it. I'm just going to go and see what happens. And like, I don't know, expect anything. When I get there, I'm just like, oh, wow, like, this is crazy. And then I just started doing all these things. And I never went home for that 1 year I came, because I remember being like, if I go home, will I come back? So like, I didn't want to come home. And for 1 year, I didn't come home. So I missed all the holidays and everything. My parents were like, what are you doing? I'm just like, I got to be out here. I got to work. So
yeah, it's probably a good move too, doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't regret anything I've done, like to where I'm at now. I feel like everything was a lesson learned. And in life, you learn a lot of things. And I feel like almost 10 years. Like, I did in 2000. It was like 2009, 2008 when I started. So almost 10 years. So I feel like, it's crazy how much 10 years has gone by so fast, but also how everyone is now, like seeing you and what you're doing, and it's cool. I feel like I don't want to take credit for anything, but I want to feel like it's, I feel like I had a spark, and then like everything else sparked with everyone else around, because you guys sparked me growing up, but like I didn't have anything to bring to the table because I was so young. So to me, you guys skating was like the spark for me, like, damn, like Chad and these guys are all like older and like they're doing all this stuff. So I feel like seeing you being media savvy, being non-media savvy before, like not even caring about any of this stuff, like it's so awesome. I'm like, damn, I'm proud of you. Like, that's awesome. Like, you're actually doing your thing. And then seeing Brett do his thing, like, I don't talk to him as much as we used to.
Yeah.
Come on, Brett, you better hit me up. I'm trying to be a new guy. Nah, but it's cool. Like, I'm happy. And then Joe Face too. Like, I wish I could take all my friends and bring them wherever I'm at, but it's so hard of like the position you're in, because you can't like be able to like afford everyone to live, you know. I wish 100%. You could just, I wish I can get a big house and everyone can live there. We can do everything we're doing now. But
and then there's also elements of like, if you start bringing people in, that's on your shoulders. Mm. And if you never know how something will end up or pan out, or like sometimes it can get tough to always be, you know, handing out opportunities left and right and stuff like that, you know?
If I have something good that I know will fit somebody, I'll bring it to the table. But then sometimes people get scared. Like, there's moments, I love Torty, but there's moments where I'll be like, yo, he wants to say, I'm going to drive everything I'm doing. I'm like, bro, you're not going to drive everything you're doing. Like, we've been said this. Like, I try to, like, I don't know. I feel like he would. I don't know. It's just like some people like too much security, but I like to have a risk at the same time.
Yeah.
I like security, but I also like to take a risk. I feel like if you don't know what on the other side, you won't like.
Yeah.
Like the reward, you won't know like what can happen, you know? If you know you're going to the same job over and over again, how are you going to know what's going to outcome of this opportunity over here? What's going to happen? And that's one thing I always did when I, like 10 years ago when I started all this stuff, every opportunity that came my way, I never denied it. And I still don't to this day. Like, I feel like anything comes my way, I check it out, you know, and still put my best efforts in it, because I feel like you don't know what that opens up.
Exactly. And that's something I was like, in the past, I would shy away from opportunities or be like, worried what people thought or things, and now I'm more taking them in, and it's cool watching it evolve and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think you it's know? Great. I think all the tricks you're doing, the elevation, I feel like you're opening a window for kids who think like you, who are don't say it publicly, have something to look forward to. So the 50 tricks across the country, that was insane. There's times I'll talk to Roy and be like, yo, is this guy good? Like, does he have gas money? Like, what is he doing? I know how you are. You can, you throw you in the wild, you're going to come back no matter what. Yeah. Like, yo, what's good, guys? Like, yo, you won't believe what happened. I have this story, you know, so it's cool to see that, like, you're doing everything that you, like, love to do still. You get to skate still, so that's cool.
Yeah, I'm trying. I love it, man. I never stopped, you know? But so when you met Manny, I want to go back to that for a second. Yeah. So how did you get, like, meet those guys?
Dude, honestly.
You know? That just kind of popped out of nowhere, and you were, like, going with the ammo and all them and stuff like that?
I feel like, so this is what happened. I would always go to Tampa every year and always go to all that Tampa AM contest, hang out with Harvey and Ian. And one year I filmed Manny. This is how it happened. I filmed Manny and all the famous guys because I love that whole crew. They're just their energy. I love the hype. Like, squads are just going crazy. Ah! And I would just film those guys because those are my favorite skaters. And I'd film everybody in the contest as well. And this was back in the day when CDs were around. So, like, I put all his footage on a CD and was like, what if I gave this footage to Felix? And was like, yo, I don't know what you can do with it, but here you go. Shit you not. A whole year goes by. I'm like, man, probably threw that CD away. Who knows what that footage is at? I'm like watching his Welcome to Famous, and like footage from that thing is in his edit. And I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? I remember telling Roy, Roy's just like, bro, I don't care about the money, man. I'll be cool with a couple t-shirts. I said something funny. It was like one of my funny little slogans. And then Roy's like laughing, like, what? So then like down the road, I don't know how I got a hold of Manny. Like maybe it was like Facebook or MySpace, one of those like DMs. And was like, yo, dude, thanks. Da, 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 da. And then I was vlogging, and then I think one day I was just like, I had his number somehow.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I got his number at Tampa that same weekend, because Manny's just like that. He's super cool. I was like, yo. And I always had it in my phone. I was like, I don't know. I have it. I don't know. Like, do I hit him up? Do I not hit him up? Do I not hit him up? I was like, one day I was like, man, forget this. Joe was doing number three, and I was like, yo, bro, what up? And it was so hard to, like, keep a conversation because you're so nervous. You don't know how to hold a conversation with these people. So you're like, what do I say? I'm like, yo, I need some clips for this video, the homie video. He's like, yeah, I got you. Conversation so quick because you don't really know what to talk about after that. Like, oh, how's your morning? Like, you don't know. Like, so you just kept it short and sweet. So then He sends over like three clips for the number three video, and then that's how his footage was in there. And after that was like my episodes were going, and I was like, yo, we should do an episode. And then he came to New York, we did an episode, we hung out, and then I was like, I'm gonna go to Boston. And then like every time he'd be home, he'd call me, I'd go there. Then I was scared with a lot of the homies he was with, and then I did episodes with them, and then I went to Philly, I met those guys, the other guys on Action, and just one thing led to the next, and then that's when I got the call to go.
It's funny, man. The first time I saw you and like Manny skating together, I was like, oh, that's perfect. Like you guys are like a match.
Yeah.
In heaven. And you brought up that energy like that the Ammo Crew had and shit. And I was just like, that is, you know, you like fit right in with that.
Yeah, I don't know how it worked out, but like Felix being my mentor and helping me out with a lot of things, and then meeting all the young kids like Johnny and Diego. And then I don't know, just I love skating so much, and my energy, how it always was, it was the same thing. Like, but it was cool to actually be able to work with all those guys and still be able to work with them now.
Yeah.
And see, I don't know, it's weird. It's like, it just seems normal now, you know, like calling, like, hey, what's up? Like, oh, yeah, you should try eat this, or, you know, be healthier. Like, it's different now, but it's crazy. I think when I drive down these streets and I'm like visiting you and like doing this, and I'm just like,
yeah, how is it being back home?
Kind of bugged out. I mean, it's I always come home when I can, but it's always like work. I never get to like venture out and go down Babylon or go down like where Joe lived and like see the box we used to pull out. Like I get notifications still on Facebook like, oh, this day memory, and I'm like, wow. I'm like,
yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's funny stuff. All right, so after that you were doing the, what was it, Manny Slays All, right, or something, for like his
website? Yeah, I was doing a lot of Manny's content, doing all the YouTube videos. I was also blogging on the site, and did that for a while with him, and then just filmed a lot of video parts. One thing led to another.
I didn't know you were blogging.
Well, yeah, I was blogging. Well, that was back then.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so what were you doing? Just like logging, like how the day was and stuff.
Yeah,
like
I would do like shout out pro skaters' birthdays on there. We do you know, five on flats. We would do like Slay Sundays with a little straight montage.
Yeah.
We were just doing a bunch of little edits, and like that was like early YouTube days, and it was like we were like almost creating like a barracks or a skate site, but it was like through Manny's thing, and it was like Manny let me have free range and do whatever I wanted to. It was like, oh yeah, that's an idea, cool, do it.
Yeah.
And then he would help out with graphics, and we'd go back and forth on things, and it really became like a full-on thing. Like we had seven segments. We literally have a segment a day, and I was just like, because every day I would like certain slots would be open of the days, like Monday wouldn't have nothing, or this day, and I was like, man, what if Throwback Thursdays, we get all this footage from people, and then we had like, I don't know if it was Throwback, it was a name for that Throwback Thursday, but it was called Blast from the Past. That was one. And then we had Slay Sunday. Then we had Five on Flat on Tuesdays. Wednesdays was something. I think it was maybe his Live and Learn web series we started. And then Monday was like just a recap, like a little 30-second. Like you can click on the highlighted videos. And like that was a highlight reel of like the last weekend. But it was a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
in one.
That's a lot to keep up with.
And then I had like an interview on Saturday. Who, what, where, when, how.
Damn.
Why, how. Like, I don't know. It was a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, and then that led you to California?
Well, I was
like,
already there.
Oh, you
doing,
were there
I
doing
was doing that,
that
already,
okay,
like a year, 2 years in, and then doing stuff with him, working on video parts, and still
where
working
at
Famous.
At
I was staying
time.
At Felix's house. If it wasn't for Felix, I wouldn't be where I'm at today.
That's pretty wild. So he just like let you.
And
like,
that's why I'm in the same position I am now, because I do the same for him. Like I'm doing the same for a lot of skaters. Like I did it for Diego. I did it for Yo-Yo. Like people come stay at my house, and it's like weird. Like life almost does a full 360 without even
circles,
knowing.
Right.
And like you naturally just become this person that you spend time around other people, and you like pick up on things they did. And that's one thing that like Felix would always, he'd open his house to anybody. Like, you know, you want to work, you want opportunity, here you go. But like, don't fuck this up. Like, give me keys to his car, whatever. Here you go. It was the wildest thing. Yeah. But I would be like, you know, I use a team van. I was like nervous to drive this guy's car. I'm like, I don't know. Like in LA, like what if something happens? Like,
that's crazy, man. So what happened next? So you're there living in his house.
Living with
like,
Felix. And then Manny eventually was like, I got to grow up. So I go with Manny. I move with Manny into an apartment with him. And
is that the house he has now with the skate park?
No, that was before. Oh. So I was in an apartment. I went from Felix's to this apartment, lived in there with Manny and his son, his baby mama. And we did that. And for a while, like a couple years, and then Manny was like, I want to move to the Valley, live closer, skating with Paul and all this stuff, and it was like, let's go to move to the Valley. So then we ended up moving there, and a couple years of that spot, Paul's place, and then like you know, things with me and Manny were like, not like bad or anything. It was just like growing up, you know, you've been around someone for so long. It was like more of like, and I thank him for that. We'll talk about it later. We're best friends. You know, nothing. We're always no bad blood. Mm-hmm. I thank him for like actually me and him going head to head in a way of like, you know, not seeing eye to eye, because doing that grew me in a situation. Like it made me have to like go find other things. Yeah. And like, I feel like sometimes it seems bad at the moment because you're like angry with each other, but I feel like it's good because it actually makes you a better person. Because I feel like when people go get into arguments, we always look at the negative, but don't see the positive out of that situation.
Yeah.
I feel like my positive out of it was Manny was like, yo, you're too comfortable. You like what you have. You should go get more. I never really thought of it like that till now.
Yeah.
Like sitting in this chair thinking about it, I'm like, damn, like
that's an awesome thing to reflect on. I've been on both sides of that too, where I'm like mad at someone thinking like they're not seeing what I'm seeing, and then something happens, and then years later you realize like you built yourself so much stronger having to figure out what to do yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel like I was pretty self-sufficient, but I had a lot of support from everybody. But I feel like that moment right then and there was like, damn, I gotta go do this and do that.
So what'd you end up doing like from that?
I ended up actually moving into one of Shane's houses.
Really? Shane O'Neill?
Yeah. And then like connected with him, and it was crazy. Like we were so close. Like, I don't know, like just skate community. I didn't know what I was going to be honest where I was going to go after that. But at the time, and then he ended up riding for Primitive, and then I ended up getting a job at Primitive because I was just around with all those guys, and like they didn't have a team manager.
Okay.
So I went on one of these trips to Street League. It was where I was doing YouTube stuff with Paul too at the time, because the park was so close to Manny's house and all that, where Manny stayed. And yeah, just one thing led to another, and I got an opportunity. It was this Barcelona trip, and they were like, yo, we want you to be the team manager. And I was like, what? What's that?
A Primitive?
Yeah. Damn. He texted me. I was like, whoa, what? Like, that's crazy. Like, what? So I get to, like, manage you guys. I was confused, and I was like, it makes sense. Still got to film and stuff. And then...
So this was after you had... You were, like, what, moving out of Manny's, or you had moved out?
Moved out of Manny's. Trying to figure out what I was going to do.
Yeah. Oh, so this was probably like when this happened, you were like,
yeah. Damn. At the time, I was still doing stuff with him. Because he got on Echo at the time.
Okay.
So I was still doing Echo stuff with him. And then Chaz lived there. So I did stuff with Chaz.
Okay.
So film stuff with Chaz. And yeah, just doing that. And it's a lot of freelancing, moving around, and just figuring out.
Yeah.
Figuring out myself, figuring out like where to go, what to do.
Did you ever think of like going back home at all, or
never?
That was completely
never. I was there. Like, I don't know, whatever it was gonna be, I was gonna figure it out all there. I was never trying to go home, because it was like that was like the easy way out. Oh, you gotta go home. Like,
yeah. Nah.
I feel like when you're there and your mentality is about like moving on or hustling and doing something
forward.
Yeah, moving forward. It's natural.
Damn. All right. So you're in Shane O'Neill's house, right? You're like renting a little spot there.
Yeah, renting a spot.
Was there anything you saw like living with him that stuck out, like that separates him from other skaters, like how he's so unbelievable and amazing? You know, like a work ethic.
Well, we lived in two different places. I lived on a different side of his house where he's at, and he lived in a different part. But we actually met up a lot. I think one thing that
I'm sure you skated a lot.
Yeah, we hung out. We skated a lot for sure. We still do now. And I feel like one thing I would say is like his determination of like how he does his stuff. He's very strategic, and he's like he's really calculated, which is good, you know, because I feel like if you're not, you're kind of off, you know.
Yeah.
In certain aspects in life, he's very calculated, dialed in, knows what he wants to do, what he wants to get done, and just executes it. It's pretty crazy. He taught me a lot, man. He taught me, like, you know, I feel like I was growing up this whole time. So you realize I moved out there when I was 20. So I'm 29 now. So I was there for 9 years, and I lived a lot of early 20s out there and learning like how to grow up. And like, I mean, me and Shane are the same age, but he's definitely a lot like older in a sense of like been through a lot in life. And I feel like he just, you know, different responsibilities and teaching things how, you know, but I've been around so many different people, and you learn from so many people, like Paul. I learned a lot from Paul. I learned a lot from Manny. Just learn a lot from everybody around you. Pick up on things. You know?
Also, I feel like you learn a lot from people like like Paul or Shane that have been around lots of people and had lots of experiences too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's like a, you probably learn a lot just being around superstars in any sport. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially being a fan of them first and then becoming friends with them. It's kind of crazy. You're like, what? And this guy's telling me to wake up, let's go skate. I'm like, oh, this is crazy.
You know what's funny? It just popped in my head. I remember seeing, I'm watching a video on YouTube and I see a commercial pop up. And it was a Primitive commercial and you were in it. And I was like, what? I haven't seen you in years. And I was just like,
which one was it? Was it the,
I think you were in a warehouse maybe or something. I don't know. Or maybe you were just talking. I can't remember.
Was it the,
maybe was, Paul it, was it walking maybe?
Oh yeah. Was it the, something? Was it like the one with like an unboxing video or something? Was it funny?
Maybe. Yeah, I think it was that.
We did a bunch of them. We did the funniest one, I think, is the one where we switch bodies. We like switch bodies and I become him for like a day and then he becomes me.
Who, Peter?
But, yeah, Paul, yeah. But it wasn't, it wasn't legit. Of course, I didn't get the review, but it was cool. Like, the commercial's funny. So you gotta watch it.
That's funny. All right, so let's see where we're at. So you're at Shane's house. He's on Primitive. He left Primitive though, right?
Yeah, he left Primitive, started his own brand, April Skateboards. He was on Primitive for, say, like 3 years. I can't.
Yeah.
I was there for like.
It's funny saying it now, like thinking about him on Primitive. I feel like he doesn't fit in necessarily. Like, it's cool. Like, it almost seems like a natural segue that he started his own thing.
Well, I think it was destined to happen regardless. He just, you know, because it's just we all want our own things, I feel like. But not in that sense, but I feel like he just wanted to have a place to help his friends and you know, change kids' lives and stuff and skaters and help them out. So I feel like it was destined to happen regardless, even if he was still on Primitive or doing something. Like, I feel like it would have, he would have done something regardless. It would have happened, you know?
Yeah. That's cool that was the motivation behind it, to kind of like, you know, help his friends and
that's
and
what
stuff
that's
like
what
that.
He's always about is trying to help other people. Like, he helped me, letting me live in his house and, you know, give me the opportunity. He could have been like, yeah, you can only live here for a year, you gotta go, you know. It's been 5 years now, you know.
Shane, so you're still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah, shout out Shane O'Neill, man, housing me. That's my landlord first and foremost. Landlord, friend, pro skater, and then like I go as the tears, I always tell him, like, yeah, that's the landlord.
That's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's he really the landlord. Like,
so all right, so what's your, so are you still working with Primitive at this point, like where we left off? You're there for a little.
I was there for a little while, and then he left, and then I left, and I like.
Now, why'd you leave? Like, was there any certain
just
reason?
Just differences. I had differences with, you know, I don't want to say like exactly the reason why, I had differences and didn't see eye to eye on certain things that I was doing. And it was no bad blood. I'm still families with all with everyone over there, Paul and all those guys. I just had to feel like I needed to grow too. I feel like it was a position where, like, I myself felt I was like a little stagnant. They like where I was at, and I didn't feel like I was like growing in any way. So I was just I had this weird thing. I was just like, man, I'm gonna call. Like, Felix was working at Diamond at the time. I was like, I'm gonna call him and see what's up. And it was like, right then and there, I was just like, yo, what's good? Like, any opportunity?
That's good that you.
And then 15 minutes later, I got a contract.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn. It was wild. Yeah, it's good that you were saying that risk. Like, you like having a little bit of risk. Like, be comfortable. But, and I think that's a huge point. It's like, because once you get stagnant, that's when things start, you don't feel that great. You need a little bit of risk, like pushing your limits always.
And I think
that's what,
I'm not saying I didn't, like, there was no more. Like, I said, when I said there was no room to grow, like, there probably was room to grow, but I just didn't feel it at that time. Yeah. At Primitive, I felt like I needed a, like you said, a spark. And I feel like when I made the change to go to Diamond, I just seen all this, like, opportunities and things to do. And I was like, I'm going. I'm doing this. And I never, like, in life, you don't want to ever look back. But also, at the same time, it's like, those times are great times. I always loved all those moments. Primitive moments, like, they taught me so much just on everything. Just when it came to marketing and it came to just everything. How to deal with certain people's personalities. Like, you don't realize everyone's not you. So you can't talk to everyone the way you talk to your homies or whatever. Like, so it taught me a lot of, like, growing up, too, there. Because it was actually, like, working in a facility where it's, like, company go in and all this stuff, and it's like, wow, like,
yeah. So wait, so you were the team manager, so not only you have to deal with like all the people higher up in the company, but then you have to take the whole team out and deal with those personalities too, and like, and that's tough on the road trying to manage like one guy wants this thing, one guy wants to hit this spot, one guy wants to eat here.
Yeah, you gotta, like, you gotta just like cater to everybody. It's more of just like, it's not about you, it's about them.
Yeah.
So it's cool though, because you learn, oh, this guy's like this, I know. Oh, he's gonna have a problem waking up. Oh, this guy needs this. Oh, his board's not gripped. And it's like, bruh. And you start teaching, like, yo, you guys, like, not knowing what's going on here.
Have you went on any crazy trips at Primitive? I haven't literally talked to you at all.
Like, yeah, I know. This is cool. We're catching up. I went on my last trip with them when I went to Paris. That was cool. Then when I got on Diamond, then we went to Paris again. I was like, oh, crap, I'm going back to Paris. Like, but I went to, like, Crazy Texas Tour. I went to Spain for the first time with them when it was small. Like, I was there in the beginning when, like, pretty much right when it started. Like, I was, so it's pretty wild to see it all grow to what it became, seeing Bastion get on and all these people. And it's cool, man. Trent, Diego, everybody, like, Brian, Devin. I'm trying to think, man. Three, like, it's been, like, if I see the videos, I'm like, oh, I was there for that. I was there for that.
Yeah. Any crazy stories, like, on the road that stick out to you? Just, like, being out in Paris or...
Crazy stories? Nothing too crazy. Everyone's, like, cool, mellow, and fun. I think, not crazy. I mean, we went to Nashville. We did a demo. We bought, a kid-size basketball hoop in the hotel room. The hotel room was super long, so, like,
yeah,
we had enough room. We just loved playing this game called Seven. You, like, shoot the ball in. Whoever, like, misses gets the point. So if you make it in, you get a point, but if you miss it behind me, you get 1 point. So you get the seven, you're out.
Okay.
So we bought, like, a little mini, like, basketball court. That was cool. I don't think that was crazy, but...
Yeah,
that's a fun story. It was a funny story to just be, like, occupy our time in the hotel room. But right then and there, I was just like, wow, this is, like... Real tour life.
Yeah, man. So you had to, like, do all that, and then were you doing the social media too?
Yeah, sometimes I do the stories. I
feel like that could be a lot. Like, just doing social media even by itself sometimes could be like...
Yeah, yeah. They had filmers at the time, so that my only role, they try to, like, oh, you can only... Like, you just do, like, team management stuff. So they're cool. And then, like, get on the phone stories, because they had Kevin, who's doing the stuff. And then before that, Kyle and Alan would be there to do all the videos. So it's like, just do stories and stuff. Then sometimes the demos, they would have me host a demo. So I'm on the microphone.
Oh, yeah, MCing?
MCing, I'm filming. I'm like, so it was cool. I enjoyed it. It was a fun time.
Yeah, I could imagine just like, traveling, being in charge. That's probably a lot of responsibility. I feel like having that much responsibility just grows you in a way that you can't otherwise.
Yeah, I think it just naturally... I'm just like that as a person, so I think I took on the opportunity to be like, all right, cool, this sounds fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
That's so funny. So then you got on... All right, so you're doing the Diamond team managing. How's that been?
It's a big team.
Is it?
There's a lot of people.
They've been around, what, since like...
20 years.
Really?
20.
Since like 99?
Something like that. Actually, no, 98.
98? 98. Wow.
Correct me, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
But 20 years. The brand's been around for 20 years.
Damn. They got a big team. They do bolts mainly? Or that's bolts, how they started, they, right?
Yeah, bolts. They have clothes. Yeah, they have all those accessories, like... collabs and stuff. But, they have a big team. A lot of new kids, too, coming out, like, trying to hook up as, like, all the new kids that are coming up and the OGs. I still be sending boxes to OGs, like, yo. And if I see him a couple times, like, yo, let's catch a clip. Like, Mike York was in the park not that long ago.
Really?
Got a little edit of him. That's cool. I think there's a lot of nostalgia in that brand. And I remember seeing it when I was growing up at like Sauce and stuff. So.
Yeah, me too.
So it's pretty wild to be like, oh shit, like you work for Diamond now?
That's funny. So that's a lot of companies. No one really has a big team like that. I guess a couple of people do like Shake John or.
Yeah, I feel like some accessories brands have that. Like I would say like Spitfire. Thunder, Venture.
So you're running the Diamond team, and that park is like unbelievable.
Oh, it's unbelievable. The Diamond Mine's crazy. So many people come in and out of there, from artists to skaters, influencers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's not like just skating?
Well, just people having meetings and stuff. I was there one day, I'm walking out of work, and YG's there. I'm like, oh, what's up, dude? He's like, if I had my board, I would skate this. I'm like, oh, crap. All right, later. I'm out. Like, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. Like, yeah. So many people just come there and skate every day. They're like, yo, the office, Mike. Oh, I'm going to come pull up. And all of a sudden, it's like quiet. And all of a sudden, you just see like 20 people just pull up. 10 people pull up. It's occupied. People are working on the other side. You're like,
So is that like your home base?
Are you, yeah, I'll go yeah. in and check in there, say what's up to everybody, and then go street skate. So whoever I'm on the team, I'll go out skating with them, film some stuff, social media, lookbook videos. I'll go there throughout the week and just make sure everything's all good. And then I'll have dudes pull up too. Like, there's not much any street stuff happening because now that school's back in, it's not so many spots during the week. Some, but not much. So yeah. more of like strategically planned for the weekend. And yeah, just have a lot of park sessions throughout the week practicing.
So you guys, you'll like get like a big crew together and take a van out or something on the weekends?
Nah, we'll just meet up. I'll just meet up with a lot of the dudes and go skate with them. Because everyone's scattered everywhere. Yeah. So like different crews and different skaters are all just be like, yo, we're going to this spot, meet up. And skate with a lot of the younger kids. I feel like trying to bring them up.
Damn. So what's the future of Diamond looking like? Like for you and like what, you know, any trips coming up or?
Yeah, planning some trips. Just like I said, focus on a lot of the younger kids now. I know Tampa Am's coming up, Tampa Pro. Definitely planning to do like a team trip, but like a lot of separate team trips, a lot of different people. So we're trying to mix, you know, all the skaters in certain areas and see whose schedule is available to go where. Working on another video because I dropped a video not that long ago. I don't know if you got to see it, but it's called Diamonds in the Rough.
No, I don't think I saw it. What?
Check it out.
I have to check it out.
Yeah.
Like a full length or?
No, full length. Just like a 6-minute edit that I had. I was just right when I started working. I just started filming a bunch of people that are around and available who wrote for Diamond. And I was like, this is just going to make this video. And then Nick saw it and was like, yo, like we should like have you do more of these videos throughout the year and then try to work on a bigger video because I want to make the real actual Diamond video with all the Diamond riders in it, you know?
That would be sick.
But so many people, I was thinking like, man, maybe I just have to do one trick and that's it. Like, some B-roll.
It could be cool, different
just
thing.
Just one
though,
trick.
Like, a couple
just like,
of sections maybe of like.
Yeah, that you know. Too, or whoever has a lot of footage who rides for them, like,
yeah,
can have like a little mini part because it'd be a really long time to sit in the theater.
Yeah.
Well, or you could put it out in sections. You could make the video in maybe 30-minute like increments or something. Yeah.
I was actually talking with, I think it was Sasser or someone about this. It was like how we release videos in a different way now. You know, they used to be like full 60 minutes, you know? And now it's like a 6-minute video on YouTube. You know what I mean? It's not like that full big experience.
Yeah,
you know?
I think a lot of companies now are just doing that. That's like the method, like montages. Like 10-minute montages, and you still have your favorite skaters in it. Because I feel like you get more out of it, and more comes out of the skater as well, because he gets to save a lot of his footage for other projects. So he can give you a sprinkle here, a sprinkle there, and he'll never be missed.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was an amazing time like with those videos, but I feel like now it's almost more practical. It's like you get more exposure. Mm-hmm. You get
put out a montage
quickly.
Yeah,
you know, share it and get people hyped on something, mm-hmm.
or even put out one trick.
That's true. Yeah, right on Instagram.
So
it's funny. Where do you see like the going down the road, like with X Games and not X Games, like the Olympics and
it's good.
You know, getting like shorter clips and like you know.
What do you mean in a sense?
Like the clips are shortening. And I don't know. I'm just trying to get your input on like where you think it's going, like with the Olympics.
Skateboarding,
it's getting bigger.
People are gonna probably hate me on this response, but I think skating deserves to be as big as basketball and these things. I think it's great. I feel like it opens more doors and opportunities for these people, and also we get looked at in a different light if we are on a bigger platform. I think. Maybe it would help out with street skating. I don't know. I feel like when someone knows, oh, this is what they do, like, and then maybe you get like a professional card or something. I don't know. You could get to skate that spot. I don't know. I know it's
you
like
have
a
an
given
Olympic athlete at your house now, and it's like different than looking at it as, you know, like a little kid damaging your property. You know
but
what I
but
mean?
I feel like maybe it would open up the doors if like for those kids. I don't know. I feel like it's a good thing. I think I skateboarding should always go bigger
with you.
Because I think the bigger it gets, I feel like the market, it opens up more opportunities for brands. And I feel like it would raise the market in a different way. And I feel like parents would want to get a skateboard before they would get a baseball bat.
Yeah.
And then they would let their kids go to the skate park instead of not saying nothing about the sports. Sports are good. Everyone who does NFL, everyone, they're fine. But I feel like skateboarding needs to be seen more. And I feel like it changes a lot of people. I feel like it grows all of us up. I feel like musically, I feel like I've like all different types of music because of skate videos.
Oh yeah. I basically like my whole library is from scattered skate videos over the years.
You wouldn't have think if you first heard it elsewhere, you'd be into it.
That's funny. Yeah. I think you're spot on with that. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing that it gets as big as like a basketball or something like that. Cause I think skating when it started, I feel it's like an anti-culture type of thing. And everyone was like, you know, all right, we're different. And it's kind of that disappearing or changing. I think that's why people like stick to that, because you don't want to see that amazing part of it kind of disappear. You know, that raw little kid, like not, you know, selling out type of stuff. You don't want to see that go away and become commoditized or something.
It will. I don't think it'll ever go away. I think it's like anything. It's like there's always going to be that part of like history. It's like as long as the skate shops are always there, they still have that nostalgia. I don't know. I go to a lot of skate shops. My thing was going and seeing that they still had skate videos, because I'd buy up all their skate videos. So I literally would like go to shops and be like, oh, you had a Really Sorry? So this sounds crazy, but I have my New York collection of videos and I have my LA collection of videos. Okay. I was like, I'll never bring my New York collection ever, ever to California, leaving it here. Whatever, I'm going to start all over. Shit you not? I have almost the same amount of videos back then. Like now,
really?
Yeah, it's crazy. I got 100 DVDs in my house now in LA. And like,
is the New York side cassette tapes or what?
Yeah, I have cassettes and I have DVDs. I have the booklet. I have, like, I don't know. People trip out on that. Like, I just am like so sacred to it. Like, I don't care how older I get, I'm gonna keep those. I don't know. Your parents will get rid of stuff. I get so mad. I remember Torty like, bro, I gotta move. Like, here's all my 401s. I'm like, you could have them. Like, bro, they're mine. Because they're yours. These are still yours. You ever need them? I got them. Like, I would store people's stuff. I would be like, before you can get rid of anything, give it to me. I will hold on to it. Just because I wouldn't want you to get rid of that. It'd be like down the road, like, hey, man, you still got my 401? I'll be like, yeah, bro, I got your 401. Come pick it up. Because it's like not fair. Like, that like hurts my heart. Like, when someone throws their old stuff away, like, what?
Yeah, I still got boxes of cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Whether you're like three videos or... like three videos that you grew up watching that were like the main things that influenced you.
City Stars and Photosynthesis first two.
Mm. Photosynthesis for me too.
Yeah. And it's like Birdhouse and In Bloom. Like those, between those two.
Mm. In Bloom, definitely.
Yeah. But I'm saying like the videos that I got started in skating was Photosynthesis and that.
Mm. Yeah. Photosynthesis was like a time for me for sure. Yeah.
It's crazy. I still watch it now and it gives me that same feeling. Like, I could close my eyes and play the video and hear the, like, waiting for someone to come on. And I can literally think back of like springtime, like learning how to 50-50, like just, I have to go to school on Monday, like, but I don't. You know, it's like, it's weird how a video will give you this feeling. Like,
yeah, nostalgia. Is there a reason that you feel like, had such an impact like that video, you know?
Well, then it was just everything came out and that was it. You got it when it came out. Now things are so packaged, like you said, differently. It's not the same feeling when you get the DVD with the bonus. You're like, oh, paid $30. I got the bonus footage. Yeah. Like, you know, you don't know what's coming. Now it's like there's promotion. People are telling you when things are coming out. Is it going to be as good as the last one? Like, yeah. You don't know. I think then it was just so spontaneous. And when you first watched it, you weren't expecting what you were going to get.
That's funny. Yeah. I always get this feeling of, I don't know if a video, like all the videos are amazing, but if it has something to do with me being younger and like everything is exciting and amazing when you're young and that time of your life you like look back on so fondly, if that's why people always like hold that older generation highly. I don't know if I worded that right, but like music, you like, you know, the 90s were the best, or like, my time period, the 60s were the best.
Well, it's only the best because we were young and that was so like impactful to us. So we say that was the best then, and people don't understand now. But everyone is dressing like the 90s. Everyone's buying retro clothes. They're living in like a time where it's like where it was lived, you know?
That's funny. All right, so what's the future looking like for Spanish Mike?
I want to have fun. I want to grow. I just want to like help my friends and just get back as much as I can. That's really what it is about giving back.
So you got a couple guys with you now? Like,
I got Daniel Scales and Johnny Hernandez with me now out here in New York. So we're skating around the city, just having fun, and just like a couple more friends coming in. And I think I've never missed a summer trip. I'd always made this like New York summer trip. I'd always do it and bring all the primitive guys. And I always kept it going on every year. And I
feel really?
I didn't know that. I would do it every year. I mean, it wouldn't be in the length of time I would have right now on this trip, but it was like 10-day trip, and I would always have it every summer. I think it was like since Diego was around. I did it like since 2015, 14. I would come every year, every summer. I would still come back by myself, but I think after the 14th or 15th is when every year since then now.
And so for how long was that trip usually?
10 days.
Okay.
15 days.
I was going to say, you're home for like a month, you said, and I was like, damn, that's a long
But I'm saying the ones before would be like small trips with them and just stack footage for videos. And it was cool, man. I just feel like so many pro skaters come and stay at my house, and like parents just like, this person. I'm like, this person. Right, Bastion stayed in my house. He signed my Thrasher cover, him faking flipping it. Yeah, I'm like...
Did your dad ever like recognize any of the pros or anything, like videos or
some? But my dad's just funny, like, oh, what's up, guy?
I miss your dad. He's such a character.
Yeah, just come by, man. Come hang out.
Yeah, man, definitely. Do you have anything you'd want to tell to any, coming up skateboarders or someone that was in your position that was like a filmer, and.
Yeah, I mean, I would say one thing is to never give up and always be determined and be passionate. Have a lot of passion. I feel like that's where it got me where I'm at. I was always passionate and I never gave up. And I know it sounds like the it sounds like the old sob story of, passion, whatever. Like, but really it is. Like, you can be one of those people. Like, I was literally one of the million. I say that to people, they're like, what? I'm like, no, seriously, ask my friends. Like, this. But I was always like that. I always would make jokes to Brett, like, watch, I'm going to be friends with this person. Watch, I'm going to be. And somehow, I don't know what, but it was just like, dink, dink.
Was there something like that stuck out to you that was a change in your mindset or behavior that kind of helped you, like at that position when you started shifting, like to succeeding at what you were trying to do?
I think it was always trying to prove somebody else wrong, because in school they would always be like, oh, you're never gonna amount to this or do that. And I think it was always of a proving wrong thing than it was more of like a, but the proving wrong was almost to show you that if I can do it, you can do it. Yeah. So I would try to prove these people wrong, and where it's like, no, I'm just showing you and letting you know it's possible. Oh, no, this is possible. And then I met all these people that were doing that already. It was just plug and play. Like, oh, wow, like in the same mindset that I'm in. So it's like, it was never like, oh, you can't do that. It was like, no, I'm going to do that. I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it. And when I do it, you let me know if I did it good or not.
That's funny. Yeah, I honestly did the same kind of thing with, like, when I do like my challenges, let's say 50 states, on my phone, the whole thing, like I'm doing that in a sense to show people that they could do it themselves just with a phone. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's a weird element. I don't know what like drives us to do really things like that.
I think being a skateboarder, any skateboarder you talk to will tell you they're driven in a certain way. And if some don't turn out to be pro skaters or not, they're driven in other ways, Their passion becomes something else, and they become good at it.
That's true. I think that's a common theme across skateboarding. It's like they're just very kind
determined.
Determined, passionate people.
And we seem crazy the way we think, but I think it's people really like, oh, wow, you guys think differently.
Yeah. It's weird. All right, man. Do you have any last words?
I think this is great.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think you got something good, man, on your hands.
Thank you.
You got to just keep bringing people and just keep it going.
Thank you. I'm learning. I'm still figuring this shit out.
I need Fuchs. I need every. I got Jason Branch, if you're out there.
Yeah. Honestly, I have no idea where this is going to go, but I'm just psyched to catch up with everyone and kind of, I don't know. I just always like learning about skateboarding and people's mindsets and like why we all do things, so it'd be cool.
Well, you're a talker anyway. You like to talk to people, so I feel like this is great for you, and I feel like you should get some random strangers on here, too. I'm telling you, people are going to start. Yeah, I don't know. I think you should just start reaching out to whoever's around, and even if they can't come to you, go to them.
I was thinking, really? Think that? I get so locked in. Hey, like, I feel like I should stay, like, in this.
Stay. This is great. I love it. Yeah. This is, like, the first 10, 20 episodes, and then you're on the road with it.
That's true.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you can take, you already did 50 tricks, 50 states. What about 50 interviews?
That's true. That's actually not a bad idea right
you
there.
You go to Florida, you hit up a pro skater out there, and then, or you know, next thing you know, you maybe hit musicians. Someone's on tour. Hey, I want to come and check with you real quick.
Well, that's a funny thing, because I really want to interview, like, all sorts of people.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, I don't know, skateboarders would get bummed out if you, like, branch out or something. No, you know what I mean? Yeah,
nobody will ever get bummed out. It'll just separate categories. You'll have the skaters, you'll have influencers, you'll have musicians, you'll have designers, you know?
Yeah, to people me, I'm interested in all.
You could, Animal Planet, this people put on Discovery Channel. Or
I'm honestly interested in anyone, like, pursuing anything passionately, really. That's really the only thing that's, like, the...
What's something you like besides skating?
Fishing.
Any famous fishermen?
Yeah, there's a bunch.
So imagine going out by the lake and interviewing a fisherman on a boat.
I don't know. We're getting on a stretch now. Dude, we'll see.
Chat overseas, dude. Feeble-minded podcast. It's overseas.
True. I mean, it's not completely out of the question. We'll see.
Besides fishing, what else you like? I've never fished in my day in my life.
I mean, I've really been into, like, the whole YouTube world, you know? So just, like, anyone really doing, like, YouTubers or creating stuff like that.
This is up your avenue. You're good, bro. You're part of that, like, that system.
I don't know. Sometimes I get so locked into things, like, I'll just, like, hyper-focus. I'm like, all right, I got to stay skateboarding. I'm like,
It's great. I think I love it, but I think you should take this on the road. I mean, once this takes off and you got budget where you can actually get in a vehicle that works and go across country, I think you should.
Hey, I have a vehicle that works. I took it across country already.
Okay. I thought you had. I don't know what you were taking, but I think personally I would like to see this on the road.
Yeah?
Different tropical backgrounds. Imagine you on Miami Beach just interviewing.
I guess I could, right?
Take a van, set it up.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess I really could. I mean, I'm doing this all on my phone still. It's been 3 years on YouTube and just still my phone. So I guess I could just go.
Apple, pay up. Everyone's using their phones. Cut the check.
That's true. Hell yeah.
Killing it.
Well, thanks for being a part of, like, one of the early episodes.
Of course.
Starting a new thing. It's cool. I honestly didn't even know what to expect. Just like posting this to my channel. But I'm really just trying to do what, like, is interesting to me first and just follow that. You know? And so I like talking, obviously, you know that.
Yeah, this is awesome.
You know, and learning and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's cool to see. Psyched to see where it goes. And thanks for coming in, man.
Of course, bro.
Hell yeah.
Good seeing you, chat.
Good seeing you. Yeah. Be good.